Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 28th. Children's Museum Reimagined. A place to reconnect. New director sees plenty of possibilities in renovated space. By J.C. Lewis. Frieda Turner Durham Children's Museum director, Rebecca Mina, is new to the role, but excited for all the possibilities the space holds. Before coming to the museum, Mina was an elementary school teacher in Ector County. I wanted the positive interactions with children and the learning portion of the job, but also there is more freedom here, she said. I'll get to be more creative with teaching in the bigger picture. She said she is most excited to welcome kids to the museum and see them explore the new space. What I like about this space is the fact the whole museum is community-based, Mina said. When it comes to a favorite area at the Children's Museum, Mina said there isn't one. I like the flow of it and the open concept of all of it, she said. I love the low sensory gallery, and another place I appreciate is the openness of the maker space sponsored by Chevron. The space is an open concept and a flexible concept that will be able to be changed frequently to serve the needs of the community and museum. The idea is to keep the space refreshed so residents can experience something new every time they visit. One thing that is exciting about the Children's Museum is it's a place to spend time with your family and reconnect with your children, she said. This is a place where you can come and you can play together. We have child and adult aprons for the painting wall, and the interaction people can have with their kids at the museum is something they will enjoy. Something important to her is that the Children's Museum is for everyone. We want to reach everyone in the community, she said. That's something from the heart of where I'm coming from. By choice, I have always taught in Title I schools, and these are kiddos that need exposure to activities. Having a safe place where they can come with their family is really exciting to me. Artists Inspire with Mural and Blown Glass by J.C. Lewis. A 8,000-square-foot facility has been reimagined to meet the changing needs of the community. Renovations were 3 years in the making, but now the Frieda Turner Durham Children's Museum will reopen this Sunday. The reopening event will be free to the community with fun activities, inflatables, music, games, dinosaurs, and more. The Children's Museum features two major art projects from two Dallas-based artists. Muralist Mary Pullman, who created a mural for the Museum of the Southwest during September Fest, came back to town to create a mural on the ceiling of the Children's Museum. The new mural resembles the work Pullman has done on the outside of the Museum of the Southwest. This mural was definitely a little bit challenging since it was on the ceiling, she said. It went really smoothly, and I paced myself. The mural took 11 days for her to complete. Pullman is a resident artist at the Cedars Union Arts Incubator in Dallas. She has completed her large-scale artworks throughout the DFW area and beyond for clients such as Heineken, Frost Bank, Lyft, and Walmart. I wanted this mural to coordinate with the other one, Pullman said. I made sure that I incorporated a similar type of shapes and similar colors so they would tie together. This one has a lot more symmetry because I wanted to work with the octagon shape of the ceiling. This mural was purely abstract, while the other mural has shapes correlating to the museum and Midland. It doesn't have the figurative elements that the other mural has, but it still used a similar type of shape to connect the two murals, she said. This was also the first ceiling she painted, because she usually avoids painting on those spaces because it can be hard on her neck. She saw a picture of the ceiling, which she had said had so much potential for a cool design, and started brewing up ideas. When I saw the octagon shape, I had a vision in mind because it was something I've wanted to do for a while, she said. I talked to Matthew, the curator, to let him know I had a vision for a design kind of like a mandala or a kaleidoscope coming out from the center. She added that it was her goal to make an inviting and colorful design to welcome guests into the museum. Follow Pohlman on Instagram and TikTok at MARPOHL. The Children's Museum also features a fun collaboration between kids and the community and award-winning glass artist Simon Warrench. She created a special project art piece for the reimagined Children's Museum. The Dallas-based artist has ties to Midland through Trinity School of Midland Director of Fine Arts Paige Gates. I was a teacher's assistant for a class at the Corning Museum of Glass, he said. One of the students was Paige Gates in 2019. She had just started blowing glass and had a mobile glass studio. He has visited Midland many times for glass blowing demonstrations with Gates using the glass hopper, a mobile glass blowing studio. The last time he came for a demonstration was during Septemberfest, and that's how he got connected with the people at the museum. In his talks with curator Matthew Ward about doing a show at the museum, the topic of community engagement came up. At that time, the museum was in the midst of renovating the Children's Museum, Warrench said. What came about was an open call for the community where kids could draw a 2D hot air balloon. Then we picked the winners and I turned them into glass sculptures. The museum ended up getting 600 submissions for the collaboration. About 30 glass air balloons with baskets ended up being hung in a balcony at the Children's Museum. The Children's Museum will host a day camp this summer. Discover Camp will explore art and science. The camp will be a half-day camp from 1 to 5 p.m., and there will be two sessions, one for 2nd and 5th graders, and one for 6th and 8th graders. Former businessman to pay $1.3 million in restitution. A former Monahans businessman was ordered to pay $1.3 million in restitution for failure to pay withholding taxes, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Western District of Texas. George Wayne Johnson, 74, of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, was the owner of Wayne Welding Services in Monahans, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office. From 2015 to 18, Wayne's Welding Services withheld tax payments from his employees' paychecks but failed to pay the $1.308 million in required payroll tax to the IRS. Through his company, Johnson spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on his salary and personal expenses. In addition to the restitution ordered, Johnson was sentenced to 5 years of probation. This is an appalling act, not just because he stole more than $1 million from our nation, but because he expected his own employees to pay the price for his extravagant lifestyle, said Ramsey E. Covington, special agent in charge of the IRS Criminal Investigations Houston Field Office. Monahans man gets 10 years for illegal firearm possession. A Monahans man was sentenced to around 10 years for being a felon in possession of a firearm, according to the United States Attorney's Office, Western District of Texas. Jacob Lyon, 29, was found guilty on December 13, 2021, according to a news release. Lyon was previously convicted for prior felonies, including armed robbery, theft of a firearm, and burglary of a habitation. On May 28, 2020, agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives conducted a consensual search of Lyon's Monahans residence. Mr. Lyon has long been victimizing the citizens of Texas and the United States of America, ATF Dallas Special Agent in Charge Jeffrey C. Boschek II said in the news release.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, April 28th. Symphony announces lineup for 60th season by J.C. Lewis. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has announced programming for the organization's 60th Diamond Anniversary season celebration with a new change. Beginning July 1st, the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will become the West Texas Symphony. Through the talent and dedication of more than 100 professional musicians, under the baton of music director and conductor Gary Lewis, the West Texas Symphony will continue to provide performances that enhance the quality of life for residents. The Masterwork series features cherished symphonic compositions. In September, the season kicks off with Your West Texas Symphony, a concert celebrating the legacy and future of the organization. In November, Symphony No. 2 by Sibelius, paired with Violin Concerto by Mendelssohn, will feature violinist Fiona Shea. Haydn's Symphony No. 104 will be paired with Bassoon Concerto in F Major by Von Weber in February, featuring WTS's principal bassoonist, Philip Hill. April's Masterworks finale will be Piano Concerto No. 2 by Rachmaninoff, with pianist Caroline Hong, as well as feature a special performance with members from local music programs and the University of Texas Permian Basin Orchestra. The Pops and Family series has been specially designed for fresh pop perspectives. The symphony will welcome back Asleep at the Wheel in October. In December, the orchestra presents Sound of the Season. In March, notable jazz saxophonist Brad Lely will be in concert with the West Texas Jazz Society. Back to the Future, in concert, will be presented to finish the season. Season tickets go on sale April 1st. Multi-tiered pricing levels are available to choose from, including student ticket packages. Visit www.mosc.org for more information.
Obituaries and death notices from the MRT for Thursday. Earl George Rodman Jr., age 98, died March 26th at his home in Odessa. Born August 3rd, 1923, in Chadwick, Missouri, to E.G. Rodman and Faye Hummel Rodman. He was preceded in death by his three siblings, Jean, Nancy, and Tom, and by his wife of 73 years, Shirley Rodman. He is survived by their four children, George and wife Wendy, of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Alan and wife Marilyn of Gunnison, Colorado, Rosemary and husband Siegfried of Dallas, Noel and Kim of San Luis Obispo, California, 10 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. April 29th at First Baptist Church, Odessa. If desired, donations can be made in his memory to local organizations, Boys Club of Odessa or Door of Hope Mission. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Heather Marie Hibison, 45, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, April 24th. Celebration of life will be held on Saturday, April 30th at 1:30 p.m. at Valley View Baptist Church in Midland, with inurnment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Heather was born on September 2, 1976, to Brenda and Ronald Huffman in Big Spring, Texas. Heather is survived by her husband, Stephen Hibison, her parents, Ron and Brenda Huffman, her brother, Ron Huffman, Jr., her children, Catherine, Blake, and Madison, her stepchildren, Stormy Emery and Matthew Hibison, Madison's dad, Roger Emery, her father-in-law and mother-in-law, Craig and Bat Hibison, Stephen's siblings, Carol and Jerry Bronai, Lori and Jeff Visovic, Lisa and Steve Snow, Kathy Hibbison and Mike and Marilyn Hibbison, and several nieces and nephews. Heather is preceded in death by her grandparents, Margie Pidcock, Harold Pidcock, and Donald and Anne Huffman. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Lenora Mary Lee Bird Marks, 86, of Midland, passed away on April 23rd after a long illness. Mary Lee was born on April 4th, 1936, to Lester Owen Leck and Virgie Vesta Gamble Bird in Shep, Texas. Mary Lee is survived by her husband of 66 years, Kenneth Marks of Midland, children Jamie and Tim Skaggs of College Station, John David and Suzanne Marks, and Lane Marks of Midland, and Julie and Rocky Jackson of Newark, Texas. She is also survived by 8 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. Mary Lee is also survived by several nieces, nephews, and cousins. Mary Lee is preceded in death by her parents, her brother Buddy Lester Bird, and a host of family that has gone before. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Permian Basin FCA or Crestview Baptist Building Fund. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 27th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, April 28th, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Celebration of Life service will be held at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, April 28th, at Crestview Baptist Church. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Kathy Ruth McFarland Dobbs, 66, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 26th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. April 29th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Melissa Schuler is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. David Davidson of Jacksboro, Texas, died April 23rd in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, April 28th, 2022. Victims remembered during gathering. Local law enforcement officials, government representatives, and crime victim advocates gathered at the Ector County Courthouse Wednesday to reaffirm their vow to stand by victims and to celebrate National Crime Victims' Rights Awareness Week. Proclamations were read, prayers were said, and awards were given to Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, its executive director, Carrie Brana, and a domestic violence survivor. Brana, Odessa Police Chief Mike Gerke, Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths, Assistant Ector County District Attorney Courtney Williams, and Judy Drury, Program Director for Safe Place of the Permian Basin, all celebrated the fact they worked together to help crime victims and spoke about the importance of educating people that there is help available for them. Sometimes people assume crime victims know their rights under the law, Gerke said. The very last thing that the criminal justice system should allow to happen is for that person to feel they've been victimized again by the criminal justice system because of a lack of transparency or due diligence. We must take the time to explain the system and tell the victims what's going to happen with them, Gerke said. Educating people in general means empowerment, and it leads to better decision-making, he said. While agencies have improved a great deal when it comes to providing services and working together, Gerke said he is aware agencies can still improve in other areas, including building trust and overcoming language barriers. Griffiths, too, talked about the great working relationships that exist within Ector County and said he can't thank victim advocates enough for the work they do. The bottom line is we can't let these victims go without assistance, Griffiths said. We put the bad guy in jail and don't take care of the victim. We're not doing our job. We've got to make sure that those individuals are taken care of. Williams told the crowd the people in her office didn't become prosecutors to make money. They did so to see that justice is done for the victims. There's nothing like speaking with a grateful victim after a guilty verdict and hearing them say they never thought anyone would believe them, or hearing a relieved child marveling that they'll never have to see their perpetrator again, she said. There's nothing like being able to connect survivors to services and resources that can help them be productive members of society and help them heal from trauma. There is nothing like being able to connect the survivor to the doctor who saved her life and watch them bond, Williams said. It's our honor and privilege to speak on behalf of people who have not been believed, who have not been heard, and to get justice for them. However, Williams said the real heroes within her office are the members of the Victims Assistance Unit, who provide emotional support, keep victims updated on their cases, and help with protective orders and applications for crime victims' compensation. It's a team effort from law enforcement who investigates these crimes to our office who finally gets to see justice done in the courtroom to the many, many organizations that are represented here today. From Safe Place to Harmony Home to the Crisis Center to everybody who's here today who helped these victims. Williams said, I'm grateful for you and it is an honor to stand with you alongside the victims. Permian celebrates top 10 with breakfast. In the first year of relative normality since the pandemic hit, Permian High School celebrates its top 10 students Wednesday with breakfast. When you think of this being the top 1% of our student body academic-wise, it's truly an accomplishment, and we're just honored to be able to take a moment to celebrate them all, Principal Delisa Stiles said. Permian feted them last year in February, but there was sub-freezing temperatures at the time, so we're thankful this year to be able to have it a little bit later, Stiles said. This is the most normal year since COVID-19, but Stiles said the students are still affected. They've had a full 2 years of their high school experience weathering the after effects of COVID. We are mindful of every opportunity to try to make up for lost time and celebrating their accomplishments because so much of their experience was remote. It's a very limited time of their lives, and we don't get a chance to recapture that, so you'll see different events this spring honoring them, such as signing day in May, Stiles said. Each of the top 10 received a yard sign with their photo and other gifts. They also had their photos taken against a PHS backdrop. Swetha Kozavan, the 18-year-old valedictorian of the class, will be heading to Rice University to major in biochemistry or possibly the medical field. Kozavan said it's a huge honor to be the top student in her class. Her sister, Sneha, was the salutatorian last year. I've worked hard for the past 4 years. It's just shown that all the work I've done has led to such a huge accomplishment, Kozavan said. Previously, she said she and salutatorian Jonathan Martinez didn't have many classes together, but they were nice to each other. Kozavan is the president of the Permian Orchestra. She has been part of Satin Strings and Symphony Orchestra, the varsity ensembles, for 3 years. Additionally, she is the president of Business Professionals of America. She also started a science club this year. Her experiment will be sent to the International Space Station in October on a SpaceX rocket. Kozavan said her science sponsor helped her through the process and to write the research paper. It's just really deserving and really nice of them to help me through this process, Kozavan said. She added that Permian has helped her reach this milestone. The extracurriculars I'm part of made me realize that there's more to academics, and Permian allowed me to realize that, and being a part of the extracurriculars helped shape who I am today, Kesavan said. What advice would she give to kids that want to be in the top 10 or become valedictorian? Kesavan said she would tell students who want to reach the top ranks to work their hardest, but not to put too much pressure on themselves, because at the end of the day, it doesn't make you better. Keep on doing, just do your best, and you'll get the results that you want. Her parents are what inspires her to excel. I feel like my parents, they came here from India, and they came just to give me and my sister a really good opportunity to have a better education. Just knowing that made me want to try my hardest, and seeing my sister be salutatorian last year was a very big inspiration for me. She's always been my role model. So I just look up to her and look up to my parents' hard work and dedication, Kesavan said. She thanked all of her teachers as well because she said she couldn't have done this without them. They have been a huge support system, and they've helped me do my best, Kesavan added. 18-year-old Jonathan Martinez said he was privileged to be the salutatorian. Martinez plans to attend Texas A&M University and go into the medical field and ultimately become an anesthesiologist. He added that every now and then there was a little bit of competition between he and Kesavan. We enjoyed it. It was fun, Martinez said. From his freshman year to middle school, Martinez said he was aiming to be a top student. He said his passion and his parents drove him to do well in school. He has an older sister. Martinez said he would advise students who want to follow in his footsteps to work hard and persevere even when it gets tough. There's always going to be ups and downs. Martinez was a captain on the varsity football team and played slot receiver, and he ran varsity track. His father, Simon Martinez, said he and Jonathan worked very hard, especially during the football season when there were multiple practices and games. Simon Martinez said he was not surprised Jonathan was in the top two. From a very young age, grades and studying have been priority one for his son. Paula Garcia, 18, ranked number 5, said being in the top 10 was kind of surreal. I think it's an honor, but also I'm really proud of myself for how hard I worked and how many challenges I overcame to get to this point, Garcia said. She plans to go into the pre-med program at Midland College to start. I'm very excited, Garcia said. Joaquin Armendariz, 17, is number 4 in his class. He plans to attend Texas A&M and major in biomedical sciences. Armendariz said his freshman year he didn't know he was in the top 10 until he got a transcript. Armendariz said he has really enjoyed PHS. I can say that the teachers really make it enjoyable too, when they teach in ways that are engaging to the students, he said. Armendariz participated in Business Professionals of America and Advanced to State and Academic UIL as well. He is Vice President of the National Honor Society and a member of the Hispanic NHS. PHS's top 10, number 1, Swetha Kesavan, number 2, Jonathan Martinez, number 3, Dhruv Kumar Patel, number 4, Joaquin Armendariz, number 5, Paula Garcia, number 6, Nidia Brito, number 7, Isabella Garza, number 8, Angel Luna, number 9, Connor Hanish, number 10, Alvin Lin. Council ignores legal advice on game rooms. 42 vote imposes new rules on local gaming establishments. The Odessa City Council gave City Attorney Natasha Brooks and her staff additional rules Tuesday to include in the city's proposed game room ordinance, including one that goes against Brooks's recommendation. The council has been working for months on amending its game room ordinance due to an explosion in the number of game rooms over the last couple of years. They had hoped the Ector County Commissioners would negate the need for an ordinance amendment by voting on an inter-local agreement Tuesday morning. But Brooks said the county did not respond when she reached out to them following last week's council workshop. nor did they put the inter-local item on the commissioner's Tuesday morning agenda. Council members and commissioners believe game rooms bring an unwanted element into neighborhoods and take money from the poor and elderly. Chief Mike Gerke and Sheriff Mike Griffiths also believe many of them are engaged in illegal gambling. The council had already agreed on changing the hours the city's game rooms can operate, but on Tuesday they agreed by a 4-2 vote that future game rooms should not be allowed to have automatic locking mechanisms and window coverings that prevent law enforcement officers from seeing inside from the street. In addition, they won't be able to have more than 50 games each or operate outside light industrial or heavy industrial areas, nor will they be able to limit their patrons to members only. All of the council members agreed on the above new language, but District 5 council member Mary Willis and District 3 council member Deetra White voted against the motion because the other council members also wanted the newly amended ordinance to say game rooms cannot operate within 1,500 feet of each other, neighborhoods, churches, schools, daycares, and hospitals. Brooks and her staff have told the council repeatedly that while counties are allowed to impose a 1,500-foot limit, municipalities are only allowed to impose a 300-foot limit. Mayor Javier Hoven said the Second Court of Appeals recently upheld Fort Worth's ordinance, which includes the 1,500-foot restrictions. If the game rooms sue the city, Hoven said the matter would likely end up in the Texas Supreme Court, which he suspects will end up declaring game rooms illegal anyway. White also said she was worried about the light, heavy industry zone restrictions included by the other council members. Once finished, the ordinance will have to be publicly read twice, and it won't go into effect for another 30 days after the second reading. Odessa resident Larry Robinson told the council he believes the existing ordinance is confusing in that it says serial numbers must be placed on the upper front right side panel, which he said is contradictory and confusing for many game room owners and operators, especially those who are Asian. In recent weeks, several game room owners and operators have received citations for violating that part of the ordinance, and Robinson said he feared the city would end up in a litigation over it. Police Chief Mike Gerke announced his office is working on separate manuals for both his officers and game room owners that will include pictures of where the serial numbers should be. The manuals, which are expected to be finished by the end of the week, will also clear up other issues that have come up in recent weeks. Roughly 700 citations have been issued since 2019 to game room owners, with more than 400 of them being written since early April, one of Gerke's officers said. In other action, the council voted unanimously to give city council appointees a 4% raise and a one-time $1,250 payment. All full-time employees recently received the same raise.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with another story from the front page of the Odessa American, published Thursday, April 28th. Reed released from Russian prison. After being held nearly 1,000 days in a Russian prison, Texan and U.S. Marine veteran Trevor Reed has been released, Congressman August Pfluger, Republican San Angelo, said Wednesday. Pfluger said they are anxiously awaiting details of Reed's return to his home state of Texas. Since Pfluger took office at the start of 2021, he has kept Reed's story in the spotlight. Pfluger also called for a resolution that was passed by the House of Representatives in June 2021. "This is so important," Pfluger said during a phone interview on Wednesday morning. "We had someone being held unlawfully as a political pawn with trumped-up charges that are not true. It highlights how important it is for us as Americans who live underneath the Constitution and rule of law with the justice system that is better than anywhere else in the world to make sure that we did the right thing and bring him home. My part in this was taking the baton from former Congressman Mike Conaway, passing a resolution in the House and in the Senate that it was the sense of Congress that we wanted to bring him home. Highlighting this issue to everyone in the country, continuing to fight for Trevor and be a voice for Trevor, especially as he became ill. I'm very proud to lead this effort in Congress to bring him home. We are looking forward to welcoming him back to Texas. Reed, who is from Granbury, was sentenced to 9 years in prison for allegedly assaulting policemen in Moscow, a previous Odessa American article detailed. In Wednesday's press release, Pfluger thanked Congressman Michael McCaul, Republican Texas, Senator John Cornyn, Republican Texas, Minority Leader of the United States House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, Republican California, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat Texas, and Congressman Joaquin Castro, Democrat Texas. Pfluger also detailed in the press release, "I want to especially recognize Ambassador Sullivan and his team, as well as those at the NSA, NSC, SPEHA, and President Biden for their compassion and care in bringing Trevor home. It's nice to see Congress actually come together and do something for the good of the country," Pfluger said. "That's what this represents. At the end of the day, we are going to have political differences, but I'm glad we were able to join hands and push to do the right thing and to not leave any American behind."
Quick hits, early voting. Early voting will continue through Tuesday for the Constitutional Amendment Special Election and the Ector County Independent School District Special Bond Election. Early voting schedule will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday and Tuesday at the Ector County Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th Street. For more information, call 432-498-4030 in Odessa or 432-688-4890 in Midland. For early voting schedule, Election Day vote centers, or sample ballots, visit tinyurl.com/MRXN4YVD in Odessa or tinyurl.com/2P8K492U in Midland, or for the Secretary of State at sos.state.tx.us. Eyeglasses needed. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker Avenue, is in need of used eyeglasses. The club will accept children's glasses, broken pieces, sunglasses, all prescriptions, and reading glasses. Hearing aids are also needed. For more information, call 432-335-0234 or visit tinyurl.com/5CJCJJYT. Superhero Run. The Attic has scheduled a Superhero 5K for the whole family from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Saturday at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Texas. The event is to celebrate the heroes who are making lasting impacts in our local foster care community and bring opportunities to get involved for those who aren't yet aware of the foster crisis. Race fee is $35. Registration ends at 11:59 p.m. today. To sign up, donate, or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/YC4H9AYF. Geoscience Symposium. The University of Texas Permian Basin has scheduled the 5th annual Geoscience Symposium from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. today at the UTPB Engineering Building, Henry Lecture Hall, first floor, 4901 East University Boulevard. The art exhibit will take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Speakers will be David Cannon, Senior Vice President of Diamondback Energy, and Denise Cox, President of Storm Energy. Career Fair. Midland College has scheduled a career fair from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the Midland College Al G. Langford Chaparral Center, 3500 North Garfield Street, Midland. Visit midland.edu. Dia del Niño, Casa de Amigos, 1101 Garden Lane, Midland, will celebrate Dia del Niño, Children's Day, from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today. Midland College Choir students will present a special performance and goodie bags. For more information, call 432-492-9701 or email sgreen@casadeamigosmidland.org. Martina McBride Concert, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present a Martina McBride Concert at 7 p.m. today. Doors open at 6 p.m. For tickets or for information, visit tinyurl.com/ysrbuntm. Voices of the Permian Basin, the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will present Voices of the Permian Basin at 7 p.m. today at the United Methodist Church, 300 North Main Street, Midland. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2p98by2. Family Fair, Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine Family Fair, has been scheduled for today through Sunday at the church grounds, 1401 Garden Lane, Midland. There will be food, games, bingo, live entertainment, raffle, car show, washer tournament, and a carnival. For concert schedule, tickets, or more information, visit olgmidland.org. Dia del Niño, Music City Mall, and 106.7 Cubuena has scheduled Dia del Niño from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday at the mall, 4101 East 42nd Street. Half price will be included at the following attractions: skating, mall moto, action time bungee, bumper cars, and train rides. There will also be bounce house, giveaways, drones, $1,000 shopping sprees, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/mrxsatsw. Spring Show Production. UTPB Ballet Folklorico will present Colores de Mexico, a spring show production, Friday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 7 p.m. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2p9f2bha. 24 Hours of Prayer Event. The Orchard Church, 6112 Texas 349 Midland, has scheduled a 24 Hours of Prayer event from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5ytwpvx7. Odessa's Got Talent. Odessa's Got Talent will take place at 7 p.m. Friday at First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue. Finalists will perform for a chance to win $9,000. A People's Choice Award of $1,000 will be awarded to the finalists with the highest number of online votes. For tickets or to vote online, visit tinyurl.com/3z4utwss. Midland Colleges, Phi Theta Kappa, recognized as one of the top 30 chapters in the world. Midland, on the heels of receiving numerous regional awards on Saturday, April 9th, the Midland College Phi Theta Kappa, PTK, Honor Society received recognition as one of the top 30 PTK chapters throughout the world as the PTK International Catalyst Conference held at the Gaylor Rockies Resort and Convention Center in Denver, Colorado. It was an honor to receive the award for Top 30 Chapters, since this is the first time Midland College PTK has received it, Henna Patel, Midland College student and MC Chapter President, said. When the award was announced, we were all very surprised and excited. We have been working hard since last summer, putting together the College Project and Honors in Action Project, so being able to receive this award really put into perspective how much we had done. Chapter members choose the College and Honors in Action Projects each year in the summer and then work on the projects throughout the school year. MC Chapter's College Project for the 2021-2022 academic year was to coordinate and produce a special campus podcast, PTK Perspectives, which included topics of interest to college students. This is Midland College's first podcast. The chapter's Honor in Action Project was Expressions of Truth, which included videos of MC employees and students telling their legacy stories, how education has played a part in their lives and those of their families. Midland College PTK Chapter Advisor is Terry Gilmore, Government Professor and Honors Program Director. Phi Theta Kappa is headquartered in Jackson, Mississippi. The International College Honor Society has more than 3.5 million members in nearly 1,300 chapters in 10 nations. The mission of Phi Theta Kappa is to recognize high academic achievement of college students and to provide opportunities for them to grow as scholars and leaders. Cassette in the Basin returns. Cassette String Quartet will return in person to the Basin with its local nonprofit educational program, Cassette in the Basin, CIB, for the first time in 2 years, from May 16th to the 21st. It does so with a new formation. Violinist Muniko Otani and second violinist Jennifer Leschnauer welcome two new members, violinist Rosemary Nellis and cellist Gwen Krosnick. Joined by guest bassist Dr. Mark Morton, Associate Professor of Bass at Texas Tech University, the cassettes will teach Permian and Odessa high school students, give master classes during orchestra period, and coach chamber music groups. You can find the detailed schedule on the CIB website, cassetteinthebasin.net/events. Cassette in the Basin, founded in 2005 by Leschnauer, a native of Odessa and member of the Cassette String Quartet, has mentored and sponsored many talented young musicians from the Permian who have since pursued professional music careers. The alumni stay in close touch with the Cassette Quartet members who continue to support their musical evolution. Violinist Dominique Valenzuela studied with CIB when he was in junior high. With continued support from the cassettes, he is now heading to Juilliard, NYC for a second Master's of Music degree. Sam Weeks, a pianist and songwriter, received sponsored piano lessons and his first ever songwriting lessons through CIB, and in fall 2022 will attend Berklee College of Music in Boston. Jay Abrera, piano, attended master classes with five-time Grammy-nominated pianist Ursula Opens through CIB and is currently in his junior year studying with Opens at Brooklyn College. Through CIB funding, bassist Aiden Almendarez, a freshman at Permian High, and Isaac Sanchez, a sophomore at Texas Tech, are both studying with Morton currently. Ella Noel prepares to celebrate the future at Community Art Day. Celebrating the future will be the theme for this year's Ella Noel Art Museum's Community Art Day. The event is free and open to the public and will take place from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday at 4909 East University Boulevard in Odessa. Ella Noel Art Museum Executive Director Sheila Perry said the event has grown over the years. "It's more than a community art day," Perry said. "It's like we've blown it up into a family fun event. That component of it is going to be our community art day with art activities, but there's also going to be the carnival games and food trucks, so it's an extended event for families. The museum has been doing community art days for over 20 years now. We do about 10 a year, Perry said. Most of them are here at the museum and others are out in the community. We started doing the outreach portion of that maybe 3 or 4 years ago. The Community Art Day is a long-standing commitment that we have to our community, but we've decided to expand this particular one. It's going to be an exciting time not only for the art museum, but also for the community. The event will include arts and crafts and numerous food trucks. The special announcement regarding future plans for the museum will also take place at 12:30 p.m. This will be the first time the public can see up and close what the museum has planned for the future, and we're going to have an announcement as to where we are in that process. Perry said we're going to have community leaders here to help us celebrate this milestone. Perry has talked about how the museum has experienced a steady increase in community engagement over the years. One of the things that we've realized is that for us to be able to serve our community, we have to grow, Perry said. Through the increase of the types of programs, the numbers of collaborations that we've worked on in the past 5 years, we know that we're heading into the new phase of the Ellen Noel Art Museum. We're wrapping up how it is that we serve our community and who we're working with in our community to make that happen. It's all been moving toward what we have planned for the future. The event will include art stations and upcoming summer programs such as TARP and summer art camps. Guests will have an opportunity to view the exhibitions, enjoy food, carnival games, and art activities. There will also be guests from the University of Texas Permian Basin's Pots and Prints and Basin PBS. We'll have maybe about 6 to 8 art activities, including origami and face painting, Perry said. Most of them will be tied to a carnival theme. We'll have activities for art making and good old-fashioned carnival games. There's going to be some great food trucks. More information can be found at tinyurl.com/5ERD7HPU. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 37,492 total cases, 702 deaths. Midland County, 40,799 total cases, 495 deaths. Texas, 6,814,011 total cases, 88,042 deaths. U.S. cases, 80,938,963 total confirmed and 989,408 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, tests will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Local news roundup. Man arrested on suspicion of animal cruelty. A 30-year-old Odessa man was taken to jail Monday after a woman called 911 to report her neighbor was beating a German Shepherd puppy over the head with a shovel. When an officer arrived at the home in the 300 block of Carver around 9 p.m. Monday, the resident, Marcos Loya Frias, told him he had found an injured dog in the alley behind his house, according to an OPD report. The officer wrote in his report the dog was 6 to 8 months old and had blood coming from its nose, mouth, and head, and dried blood all over its paws and fur. The dog's left eye was completely bloodshot from severe head trauma, the officer wrote. Frios confessed to a Spanish-speaking officer he'd hit the dog with a blunt object after he attempted to bite him. Officers did not observe any bite marks on him, the report said. Frios was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on suspicion of cruelty to non-livestock animal, and the dog was taken to an emergency veterinary clinic for what the officer suspected might be life-threatening injuries. Frios was released on an $8,000 surety bond Tuesday. OPD arrests man in theft from former employer. A 40-year-old Odessa man was booked into the Ector County Jail Monday after police said he confessed to stealing roughly $70,000 worth of property from his former employer, an equipment rental business. According to an Odessa Police Department report, employees of Roper Equipment Rental on Interstate 20 reported tens of thousands of dollars of equipment, including a utility trailer, welding machine, and various power and hand tools, had been stolen from the business, and they suspected a former employee, Christopher Donnell Williams. When an officer drove by Williams's home on East Century, he saw a dirt bike in Williams's yard that had been listed as stolen in the report. According to the officer's report, a woman also told him that she had spotted her stolen red push lawnmower in Williams's yard. Officers located other stolen property on Williams's property, including some he had tried to hide while they were on the scene, the report stated. Williams confessed to having stolen property from Roper Equipment to trade for drugs, according to the report. He also told them the utility trailer and welder had been stolen from his house. Williams was booked on suspicion of theft of property and tampering with evidence. In addition, he was booked on a warrant alleging he was a fugitive from justice in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Former Monahans businessman ordered to pay $1.3 million. Alpine. On Tuesday, a former Monahans businessman was ordered to pay $1.3 million in restitution for failure to pay withholding taxes, a Department of Justice press release detailed. According to court documents, George Wayne Johnson, 74, of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, was the owner of Wayne's Welding Services in Monahans. From 2015 to 2018, WWS withheld tax payments from its employees' paycheck but failed to pay $1,308,797 in required payroll tax to the IRS. Through his company, Johnson spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on his salary and personal expenses. In addition to the restitution ordered, Johnson was sentenced to 5 years of probation. Employers have critical tax obligations with respect to their businesses, and the defendant in this case skirted them so that he could enrich himself. U.S. Attorney Ashley C. Hoff stated in the press release, "We will continue to work closely with the IRS criminal investigations to prosecute these matters. This is an appalling act, not just because he stole more than $1 million from our nation, but because he expected his own employees to pay the price for his extravagant lifestyle," Ramsey E. Covington, special agent in charge of IRS Criminal Investigations, Houston Field Office, stated in the press release, "I am proud of our team of IRS CI for the investigative work on this case, and I am proud of the unwavering support of the U.S. Attorney's Office to prosecute those who choose to violate our tax laws." The IRS investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Lance Kennedy prosecuted the case.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.